Does it surprise you to know that you've been hearing that theme for 27 years? The Simpsons has been on our television screens since 1989 and even earlier in some other forms. We've seen references to maths in The Simpsons. There are books on philosophy in The Simpsons. There are even university courses that cover The Simpsons. It's also incredibly plugged into culture and politics. Way back in the year 2000, we saw a future Lisa Simpson as president who was the successor to none other than Donald Trump.
As you know, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump. How bad is it, Secretary Van Houten?
We're broke.
The country is broke? How can that be?
Well, remember when the last administration decided to invest in our nation's children? Big mistake.
The Balanced Breakfast Program just created a generation of ultra-strong super criminals.
And midnight basketball taught them to function without sleep.
Oh, yes, it all comes flooding back, doesn't it? With us is Yanni Agisalo. Oh, I've messed that up. I knew I was going to. Yanni is a comedian. You're with us. Why don't you say your surname for me?
My surname is Agisalo.
I should have written it down like that. Thank you. Now, you've just come from the Melbourne Comedy Festival and you're here for the Sydney and touring. Your show is called The Simpsons Taught Me Everything I Know.
Yes, that's right. I mean, maybe not everything. I think that's probably underselling the role my parents played in my life, but it certainly taught me a lot of stuff. But yeah, it's you pretty much covered a lot of it. Like, I mean, you know, there's a lot of philosophy primers on it. Like I read an essay and it was basically talking about Nietzsche and the role of the good person. And it uses Bart as an example of whether humans are good or bad. And, you know, there's the whole thing about Trump, which is,
And like whole sort of sections of the internet are devoted to the prescient,
absolutely,
moments in The Simpsons.
Well, it's funny because the Trump thing's a weird one. Like, you know, when you look at it now, people go, how could that even happen? But is it that much weirder than Ronald Reagan being president, you know, 30 years ago?
Good point.
You know, like in Back to the Future when, you know, he goes back to 1955 and like the doc's like, oh, who's president in 1985? And Marty's like, Ronald Reagan. He's just like, what, the actor?
Get out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
But, well, tell us how you, do you remember first seeing The Simpsons?
Yeah, I do, actually. It's a funny one because I didn't watch it first on TV. The first time I remember seeing it was they played one of the shorts before a movie that I'd gone to the cinema to watch. I cannot for the life of me remember which movie it was, but it was one of the little shorts and I've seen it since. And it was the one where they went to like Dr. Marvin Monroe, who's no longer in the show. They kind of nixed him as a character. And, you know, they're giving each other electroshock therapy, you know, when they're giving each other family feedback. And I just remember like laughing my head off and thinking, what is this? Because I'd never seen anything like that back in, say, 1990. Like it was the first... I mean, it was the first primetime cartoon since the Flintstones. So the Flintstones was on like, I think it was 20 years before that. Mm. And so it was the first time that they'd pitched actually a primetime cartoon. And I mean, the thing is, it's not really a cartoon. It isn't as much as that it's animated, but it's not a cartoon in the same way that, like, you know, Roadrunner is a cartoon. Mm. You know, there's no one painting a tunnel on a wall and having people run through it. You can't blow
an
up
an Acme box of dynamite.
Exactly. Like, so what it really is it's a sitcom. It's just animated. But there hadn't been anything like that
since. Yes, I remember at the time when it came out, there were articles in the newspaper saying, this is terrible, this is going to be bad for kids, these are completely dysfunctional people.
Absolutely.
Ruin the whole generation.
Well, it was before that whole Seinfeld thing came through and, like, you know, if you remember sitcoms in the mid to late 80s, at the end of every episode, it was not even implied, it was an explicit thing where, like, the parents would look at the kids and say, what did you learn today, DJ? Like, and then DJ would think about it and go, well, I guess I learned that, you know, family is very important. And you'd be like, what is this saccharine crap, you know? Like, I mean, and it was never really a thing. And then Simpsons and Seinfeld kind of changed that and sort of like made it more like, well, these are dysfunctional people. And they, but, and I remember the George Bush came out when it just started. And in one of his speeches, he came out and said, we should have more families like the Waltons and less families like the Simpsons.
I did like the Waltons,
yes,
actually, though.
Well, like, no, I mean, but the irony is that, you know, The Simpsons really, when it comes down to it, is a family sitcom, and the family is the prime aspect of that. So, you know, what's funny is nowadays you actually have a lot of Republican groups in the States who hold The Simpsons up as quite a model family, in as much as they're still a family and they're still married, and, you know, they do actually, Homer can be a jerk for 25 minutes out of an episode, but he still cares for his kids. It's interesting to see how these things can come full circle.
And so in your show, how do you do it? How do you sort of progress through the universe of The Simpsons?
I've got a few things going on in the show. So, I mean, a lot of it is me doing impersonations. So I can do Homer and I can do Mayor Quimby. I can do lots of the voices and I sort of use that to illustrate a lot of things. So, for example, I take some stories from my own life. Like, there's one where Lisa gets a bee for the first time, and she...
A bee.
A bee on a report card.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's not even a bee, it's a B plus, which just sounds like a hyper intelligent bee or something. And she just flips out and she, like, you know, can't handle it. And you watch that and think, oh, how ridiculous. She got straight A's and she got a B and she can't handle that. But I actually did the exact same thing when I was in year 7. I remember I got a C on my report card and I had never gotten a C before. And I'm quite ashamed to say I pretty much cried at my English teacher until he changed it. So, in that way, I'm exactly as needy as Lisa, but just with lower standards.
Look, they are also complex. Their characters are layered and they've gone through changes and they're not static. They do kind of move.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know how Homer's changed his voice? In the first two seasons, he was more sort of like this, you know, and then he became more like, you know, kind of a bit higher pitched. And what was interesting was the reason for that is that Dan Castellaneta, who does the voice, it was taking a real toll on his throat, and which was fine to do when they were just 1 minute shorts, which they were when they began. But when it became a primetime show and he had to do a half hour every week as an episode, he couldn't keep it up. So it was quite literally just a way of, you know, giving his throat a rest.
There's also the extraordinary number of people, celebrities, famous people who've contributed to the show over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just a real kind of touchstone for anyone who's made it. You do a part in The Simpsons.
Well, that's it. It's a real who's who, but also just in terms of culturally, because it's been going for so long. I mean, you could almost learn most things you need to know about pop culture just by watching The Simpsons. Like, for example, I think I saw no end of Citizen Kane jokes before I ever saw Citizen Kane.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, like, there's that Rosebud episode where, like, Mr. Burns loses his bear and he wants his boo-boo back. But, I didn't even know what that was. And then I watched Citizen Kane and I was like, oh, it's Citizen Kane. I didn't get it. It's just like the sled. And, you know, and there's so many things like that.
The Malibu Stacey storyline is another whole discourse about Barbie and feminism and young girls.
Well, that's right. And I've got a bit in my show about that, because the interesting thing about that was, I mean, that was in 1994, that episode, the Malibu Stacey episode, and that was about sort of toys and sexism. And then that's really popped up again recently this year or last year with the new Star Wars movie. I don't know if you know about the Where's Rey. Yeah. Like, and that whole thing about, like, parents buying toys and there's no, the female protagonist is not in the toy boxes. And that's pretty much the same thing, but 20 years down the track. So, you know, plus Sashange and all of that.
Yanni, have you got a favourite character?
Oh, why don't you ask me who my favourite kid is?
Troy McClure is one of mine.
Oh, yeah. Hello, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such radio programs as Life Matters. You know, like, he's great. Yeah. And I mean, of course, tragically, Phil Hartman died, was killed, was murdered by his wife, which is crazy. And so you do get that, you notice that thing where after about season 11, there's no more Troy McClure, there's no more Lionel Hutz. Lionel Hutz is quite close to my heart because I did train to be a lawyer. So I trained at university to be a lawyer, talking guy. And You know, and I do like the idea of like the really bad lawyer. Because
isn't it interesting how it just crisscrosses through real life, our life, their lives, the actors' lives. It's all just one big kind of, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, when I used to work at the law firm, I always felt like Lionel Hutz. Every day I'd turn up and I'd feel like the tie, I was a complete fraud.
You don't look like him. Now, tell us, you're touring, you're in Sydney now, are you heading on?
Next week I'm doing the show in Perth. From Wednesday through to Sunday at the Regal Theatre. We did a whole series season in Melbourne, and I'm at the Factory Theatre here in Sydney tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday.
Which, you sure about that?
No, yeah. I am sure about that. But what was funny, I just thought of like a Simpsons gag as I said it. Like there was a bit where like Bart wants it to snow because he hasn't done his book report, and they're watching the weather report and like they're saying whether or not it'll snow, and Lisa's like, well, I don't think that he knows, and Bart's like, Lisa, that man is a trained meteorologist. And then the weatherman walks up and goes, and can I remind everyone to come and watch me at the Laugh Factory? The forecast calls for a 75% chance of hilarity.
Oh, very good. What a great note to end on. Thank you, Yanni, for talking with us, and good luck with the show.
Thanks for having me.
That's Yanni Ujisolo. And his show is called The Simpsons Taught Me Everything I Know. Check it out.